And now, for the next few minutes, we want to think together about a mother's love and care. Dr. James Dobson, a child psychologist and head of the Focus on the Family organization, learned a great deal about effective and creative discipline from his mother. James's father traveled a lot, and when James was growing up, so his mother was the primary disciplinarian. And James was a rambunctious boy who often got in trouble at school. And his mother was running out of ideas on how to keep him in line. Now, one day after another visit to the principal's office, Mrs. Dobson set James down for a talk. And she announced that she would not punish him for anything for getting into any trouble at school. She said, instead, the next time She got a call from the principal, she would become his shadow. She would go to school with him and attend his classes and hold his hand and walk with him through the halls and participate in all of his discussions with his friends. Well, no parent could have thought of a worse punishment. It was a brilliant threat, and it resulted in an immediate change in James's behavior. He became a model student in that school. Most of us can identify with young James' situation. At a certain age in our lives, the idea of our mother following us around is sheer humiliation. But as we grow older, we realize that our mothers will always follow us wherever we go. We cannot go far from their influence. That is a cause for celebration on this Mother's Day. Many things change over the years. Our appearance changes, our address changes, our hobbies change, our priorities change. But there's one thing that remains constant from the day of our birth until we die. And the sound of our mother's voice is guiding us. How many of you have heard your mother's voice in your head at an unexpected time? Maybe at the time you called it a voice of the conscience, but if you listen carefully, there would probably have been a definite maternal overtone as you heard phrases like, two wrongs don't make a right, remember who you are, if all your friends jumped off a cliff, would you jump off too? I'm sure that the mom voice in your head has its own set of standard sayings. From the commie strip, the high and lowest, comes a list of the top 10 things mothers always say. See if any of these sound familiar to you. Last one in bed is a rotten egg. How many times do I have to tell you? Because it's good for you. You could catch your death of cold out there. No running in the house. Did you wash your hands? When I was your age, don't talk with your mouth full. Someday you'll thank me. You could poke your eye off with that. What would we do without these pearls of wisdom? Think of the potential mess the world would be in if we defied our mother's instructions. For many of us, our mother's voice was the first voice to communicate with us, to soothe us, to rebuke us, and to call us by name. That voice shaped our identity, our values, and our view of the world. No wonder we carry that voice with us wherever we go, even after our mothers have gone on to glory. No matter how far we may stray from our mother's home or our mother's teaching, we still hear her voice imprinted on our minds. Today we're going to be thinking about the most famous mother in history. And This message is based on the reality television show entitled The Swan. You will have to use your imagination on this one. After all, the reality show by that name is a controversial show in which women who are dissatisfied with their looks are put through the weeks of dieting, of exercise, and plastic surgery. Each woman also recounts her own sad stories of rejection, lost love, and low self-esteem due to her appearance. After the bruises fade and the scars heal, the women compete in a beauty pageant to determine the winner. The show celebrates the ugly duckling who becomes the swan. But the woman we're going to think about this morning is far removed from the women on this show as night is from day. And yet, never has a woman who has ever lived deserved the title of swan more than she. Not on the basis of her physical appearance. We don't even have a clue as to what she looked like. But because of who she was and the son that she mothered, she is the most revered woman who ever lived. Go many places in the world and you will find many people praying to Mary, the mother of Jesus, as her son. We share their admiration of this woman whose life touched our Lord Jesus Christ as no other. That is the power and the privilege of being a mother. Our scripture for today is brief, and it could be easily passed over its significance. But it gives us a quick snapshot of Mary and allows us to speculate on what her life was like after her son's death and resurrection. And that scripture that we're thinking about this morning is found in Acts, the first chapter, the 12th through the 14th verses. And we read, "Then they returned to Jerusalem from the Mount of Olives, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey away. And when they had entered, they went up to the upper room where they were staying, Peter and John, James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas, the son of James. All these, with one accord, devoted themselves to prayer together with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers." The disciples of Jesus are gathering in prayer just before Pentecost. They've witnessed Jesus' resurrection. They heard his final instructions to them to wait for the coming of the Holy Spirit, and they watched as he ascended into heaven. Still, they are perplexed, and they feel powerless. Why did Jesus have to leave? Why didn't he give them a more proactive assignment? Wait and pray? What good is that going to do? But the disciples' trust and faith are complete. They return to Jerusalem and wait for the fulfillment of Christ's promise that he would send his Spirit upon them. They are gathered and they are in prayer. But look who's also there. Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers. That is remarkable. For the most part, Jesus' family has stayed in the background of his teachings throughout all of his ministry. We suspect that Joseph, his father, died much earlier. Maybe that is why Jesus delayed beginning his ministry until he was 30 years of age. As the oldest son, he had responsibilities at home. But his mother and his brothers knew him better than anybody else in the whole wide world. And the scriptures are very candid at this point. At first, when he began his ministry, Mary and the brothers thought that he had lost touch with reality. They wanted him to come back home and quit all this craziness. We've all been there. Sometimes those closest to us are last to see us as we really are. At what point did Mary move from being an observer to being a believer? At what point did their relationship change? When did the mother become the disciple of her son? The scriptures don't show us the crucial moment, but they do make it clear that at some point, Jesus' family became Jesus' followers. They saw clearly who he was, and they believed. Most of us reach an age in life when we want to give back to our mothers all the blessings that they have given to us. We want to honor them with love and care and with gratitude and with gifts. That's part of the significance of Mother's Day. Let me tell you about one mother who was an extraordinary mother. Her name is Martha Cartwright. Like Martha, but with a U, Martha. Martha was always available to help those in need. Her door was always open. Everyone in her little town of Possum Trot, Texas, knew they could call on her for help. After Martha's death, her daughter Donna and her husband, W.C., decided to honor Martha by adopting abused or neglected children and giving them a really good home. Donna and W.C. and Donna's sister Diane Sparks began educating the members of their church about adopting children from difficult circumstances. And their excitement was so contagious that soon others in their small town also began adopting children from difficult circumstances. In 1997, the citizens of Possum Trot, Texas, have adopted 70 of these children. State caseworkers marvel over the level of community support these families receive. And it all began because one woman wanted to pass on her mother's love to a child in need. Our Bible passage today, we learn that this is what Jesus planned to do for his mother Mary. All the greatest things she had ever given her son was about to give back to her through the power of the Holy Spirit. Of course, the first gift Mary gave her son was the gift of life. Her body sheltered his for 9 months. After his birth, she fed him, changed him, rocked him to sleep, and provided for his every need. Her life and his life were bound together forever. Many a mother has realized upon first seeing her baby's face that she would gladly lay down her life for her child. Let me tell you about Elizabeth, an 80-year-old woman who survived the Holocaust. Elizabeth and her mother were best of friends. They had such a happy life until the start of World War II. Elizabeth's family was Jewish, and they feared the power of the approaching Nazi forces. Elizabeth's father did not want to leave his homeland and the people who needed him. Elizabeth's mother knew that her husband needed her. And so she made what, in Elizabeth's words, are the ultimate maternal sacrifice. She sent her only child, Elizabeth, to live in the United States while she stayed behind with her husband. Elizabeth survived the war and made a new life for herself in her new country. Her parents died in a Nazi concentration camp. Without a doubt, Mary would have laid down her life to save her son. But Jesus demonstrated a greater love by far than any human love we know. He laid down his life to save everyone, not just those he loved, and to offer them eternal life. And his spirit living in Mary and the other disciples would be the seal, the guarantee of eternal life and acceptance by God. And the second crucial thing that Jesus gave back to his mother was his love. A mother's love and care shape our identity as healthy human beings. I wish that everyone knew that kind of love from their mother, but this is an imperfect world, and not every mother is equipped to give healthy love to her children. If this is your story, I hope you realize that it had nothing to do with you. You are incredibly precious and worthy of unconditional love. We were created with a deep need for grace, that unconditional love that accepts us with joy in spite of our flaws. Grace is healing. Grace is free. For many of us, our first taste of grace came through our mother's love for us, but we will never know grace in its fullest form until we accept it from a loving, holy God who bought us with a very great price, the price of his own blood. We never get over our first experience of love. In a story entitled Jailhouse Bach, cellist Mark Saltzman tells of performing a short concert for the inmates at Los Angeles Center Juvenile Hall. He thought surely a bunch of street thugs wouldn't have any interest in cello music. And this wasn't just a bunch of juvenile delinquents. Saltzman would be playing for the most violent offenders in the center. To make matters worse, Saltzman was scheduled to perform right after a popular hip-hop group. He chose as his first piece a song called, ironically, The Swan. Before he played it, he explained that something in the lovely melody reminded him of his mother. Halfway through the first song, Mark Saltzman looked up to see his whole audience in tears. The music really touched them, but it was the tribute to Saltzman's mother that inspired the inmates' tears. Twice more in the concert, the young man requested that Saltzman play the song about mothers again and again. At the end, the inmates gave him a standing ovation. Jesus' life was surely shaped by his mother's love, and after his death, he was able to give back to her in abundance the love that she had given to him. That the wonderful thing is that we all have access to the awesome love that Jesus offers us. It is a guarantee to all believers who pray for and receive the Holy Spirit. In Romans, the 5th chapter and the 5th verse, we read these words, "And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom he has given us." This Mother's Day, may we find ways to give back the love we have received to others. In a time of silent prayer, let's dedicate or rededicate our lives to God and give the love of God to others. During a few moments of silent prayer, just pray, "Heavenly Father, come into my life, forgive all my sins, and help me to love others. In Jesus' name, amen." Let's have a time of silent prayer. Our loving Heavenly Father, on this Mother's Day, come into our lives and forgive all of our sins and mistakes of the past. Help us to help others to know your love and forgiveness. Bless each and every one of us, we pray, and help us, we pray, In Jesus' name, amen.